Well, it's been a busy night already. First hour was Catherine Ransland, a professor, criminologist, forensic psychologist who looks at the pattern of criminal behavior vis-a-vis Jorn van der Sloot and sexual predators. In the first hour, you go back and check that out on Streamlink. Just hook up to Streamlink, very inexpensive at coasttocoastam.com. And second hour, we were talking with Jim Bell, who'll be back next hour too. Jim believes that regardless of whether there is a finite amount of oil, that the economics of oil should make us reconsider the need that we have for a petroleum-based economy, that we should switch it. We should transition into a solar-based economy because it's just too expensive to get the oil out. Nuclear energy isn't any better. That's too expensive too, plus the harm that it's doing to the to ecology. Well, let's put that aside for the moment and bring in Lindsay Williams, coming up in just a moment, an ordained Baptist minister who felt a call to go to the North Slopes of Alaska to take a look at the oil pipeline, to be a missionary to the pipeliners. He enjoyed this honorary sort of executive position with an oil company that gave him full access to both the executives and to the workers. And his observations during that period is the basis of the book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And we'll talk about his concerns about the Gulf, as well as what he thinks the future of oil and energy should be in this country, coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponet. Well, Reverend Lindsay Williams, interesting conversation I've caught from you on YouTube and also on your website and reading excerpts from the book, The Energy Non-Crisis. Thanks for giving us some time tonight. Are you there?
Yes, thank you, Ian, for allowing me the privilege of being on Coast to Coast AM tonight to tell the real story of the Gulf of Mexico oil gusher. I knew Coast to Coast was the place that I could get this information out to the masses of people quick enough before they could stop it from being given.
All right. Well, let's go back a little bit first to your experiences in Alaska. As you were a chaplain for pipeliners and to the executives, that you enjoyed a kind of intimacy with them that gave you confidential information, which was used in the energy non-crisis. You protect the identities of people who can't be or whose names shouldn't be shared, but you can share fairly openly the fact that you believe that there, or you've been told by people in a position that would know that there's as much oil in Alaska as there is in Saudi Arabia. Is that a position you still believe?
Oh, positively. In fact, there's enough there that we didn't even need what's in the Gulf of Mexico. There was positively no reason for our government to have allowed BP to do what they've just done. And I was the chaplain to the elitist of the world for 3 years' time. The people that you hear about in the World Bank, the IMF, the top oil company officials. And what I learned literally staggered me. I mean, it changed my life. And over the past 35 years, I have kept in touch with these people. Many of them have confided in me things that I gave on radio talk shows across the country. They took place months later, exactly like they said. And it's exciting to realize that, let me put it this way first. I guess probably the best way to say it all in one sentence, Ian, is to say as honestly as I can, as a man who was taught to be honest as a child and have ministered in churches and missionary in Alaska for years, there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. And when this fiasco took place in the Gulf of Mexico, the Gusher, and the rig was destroyed, I immediately contacted the elitist friend who, for the past 35 years, has given me all the information. I also contacted a retired Atlantic Richfield executive along with two BP managers and a Halliburton worker who was on the rig that exploded. They all told the exact same story. Of course, I knew it to be correct from my elitist friend because he knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. So what you're going to hear tonight comes directly from executives of the oil companies themselves, and you're going to find it shattering. So I urge people in the listening audience, please get pencil and paper and take notes, because America must know the truth about what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico.
All right. Is oil a, and we will get to all that, is oil a finite resource? Do we have, do should it be as expensive as it is? And why, if it's so plentiful, why is it still so expensive to extract?
I will answer that question in the course of giving what has happened in the Gulf of Mexico. In fact, I will give it in statistics rather than personal opinion. In the course of this program, you will notice, Ian, that I only stay with things I can prove. I stay away from my own personal opinion altogether. And when I need to know something, I go to one of my top oil company officials and I say, what is the story? And looking at the Gulf of Mexico, with a little background here, just briefly, we'll answer that question. The oil itself that is coming up in that out of that oil well in the Gulf of Mexico, the oil itself is not the greatest danger. It's what's coming up with that oil that is the greatest danger. Oil destroys wildlife. That black stuff oftentimes people think about as oil. It destroys fish and oysters and shrimp and the pristine white beaches of Pensacola, Florida, and the marshlands and the coral reefs. But what is coming out of that oil gusher with the oil is causing the death of humans and unborn babies. I mean, when I get into some of this tonight that these oil company officials have given me, and especially two with BP themselves in management positions who are so concerned about what's happening to the Americans, you definitely are going to find it. First of all, let me go into the background and answer your question that you just asked me.
Thank you.
In 1970, the Russians started drilling what they call Kola SG-3 wells, an exploratory well which finally reached a staggering world record depth of 40,230 feet. Since then, Russian oil majors, including Yukos, have quickly drilled 310 successful super deep oil wells. Now, you notice the wording. I'm punctuating some of these words, super deep oil wells, and put them into production. Last year, Russia overtook Saudi Arabia as the world's biggest single oil producer and is set now to completely dominate global oil production and sales in the next century. What did Russia find? When they drilled that first super deep oil well, they found not fossil fuel. I'm so glad that your previous guest, he touched on this subject, and he said there's something else down there. He's exactly right. They did not find fossil fuel. Now, we've been told all of these years that oil is nothing but decayed and rotted plants and animals and all the rest. Russia went the deepest that any human being has ever gone on the face of the earth, 40,230 feet, and they found a biotic oil. Please write this down, those of you who are taking notes. The letter A, B-I-O-T-I-C, oil. It's oil that is forming itself from a chemical process somewhere down in the depths of the earth. They don't know what the chemical process is. It is going to cause the rewriting of the textbooks on crude oil. This oil is seeping up. Now, the Russians have proved this because of their deep oil well and the great production they're getting from it, that abiotic oil, which is not fossil fuel, is seeping up into the shallow fields like Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Mexico, and are replenished them to the point that peak oil, I'm sorry to say, from all those who are telling me behind closed doors exactly what's happening, peak oil is a total misnomer because this oil is replenishing. Now, Russia had sense enough to drill their Kola SG-3 wells on land, not in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, let me go to the Gulf of Mexico because this is what's so important to every American tonight. That oil is gushing out. I contacted one of the elite, one of the Mr. X's in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. And what I found out was so startling. It appears that British Petroleum, BP, by the way, British Petroleum is not an American oil company. It is a British oil company. It appears that British Petroleum was trying to do what Russia did and drill a super deep oil well. The only difference is BP was so stupid, and I'm not hesitating to use that word here. BP was so stupid as to try and drill an oil well off of a floating platform that was not even anchored to the bottom of the ocean, using GPS sophisticated equipment to keep it in place. And when they did, they were in 5,000 foot water. Now, keep in mind that a mile is 5,280 feet. They were drilling from the top of the water down to where the ocean floor is. They were starting at almost 1 mile. They drilled a super deep well. It should have never been allowed. This is uncalled for. We are supposed to have agencies in Washington that keep oil companies from doing stupid things like this. But off of a floating GPS-controlled platform, they drilled 25 to 30,000 feet deep after they got to the ocean floor, 25 to 30,000 feet after that. Now, this is on the edge of human technology. They hit something so catastrophic and unexpected that they could not contain it. By the way, let me say emphatically at this point, this was an accident. They did not do this intentionally. I do not believe this was a conspiracy, even though many people are trying to say you don't know what you're talking about. The oil officials themselves tell me this was positively an accident. They hit a strata of oil in the Gulf of Mexico at such high pressure that it burst all of their safety valves. Now, there were many safety valves in place. BP had done things correctly, and this was not supposed to have happened. The pressure, now, I'm going to give you the pressures right from the oil company officials. The pressure behind this oil is so high that it destroyed the maximum effort of human science to contain it. Let me start, first of all, at Prudhoe Bay. When I was at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, as the chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, the elite confided in me because I was kind of like a mascot. It was almost as if, hey, chaplain, you're different. We never had anything like this before. Anytime they would bring in a well, there were two things. Now, think on this for a moment. You'll catch this quickly. The first thing that they would report whenever a new well was brought in was the flow rate. They'd open it up and see within an hour or 24-hour period how many barrels of oil would flow. The second thing that they always gave is the pressure at the wellhead. Nobody, the government, BP, nobody has ever given the pressure of this well in the Gulf of Mexico. They have never given the wellhead pressure. Why? BP, the media, nobody. In Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, for instance, the wellhead pressure on most wells was 1,500 PSI, pounds per square inch of pressure, artesian. Your automobile tire, for instance, carries 35 pounds per square inch of pressure. A truck tire on one of the big tandem tractor trailer rigs will carry about 100 to 120 pounds per square inch. Now imagine this, a reliable source, my Mr. X, and both of the people with BP, who confided in me, they said that the BP Gulf of Mexico oil well head pressure, when they hit it, was 20 to 70,000 pounds per square inch. I hope you're hearing this because it's so important as to what happened at that point. This is beyond human technology to contain it. Now, there are many safety devices on that well. It blew all of them, every single one of them. My BP informant, he's in executive position, had two of them that were so concerned they were willing to tell me the story. They said that BP had made one horrible mistake. The last safety valve on a well is called a fail-safe valve. Now, any oil person will immediately recognize this. It's supposed to hold if every other device on that well fails. This one is supposed to hold. The informant from BP said that there was a conversation between one of the workers and the foreman on the platform, the foreman of the platform, and the worker said, the fail-safe valve is warped. We need to replace it before we go any further. The foreman said, I don't have time. Let's just keep going. As a result, it blew everything. I don't think that the fail-safe valve would have held it, even if it had been there. But the Gulf of Mexico oil is flowing at the rate of 4. Now, this is very conservative. They said it's probably much more than this. 4 million gallons a day, Ian. This is startling.
The one question back there was then, if this is the answer to that, help me be able to decipher that from what you said, that then this is an indicator that oil is obviously not scarce and that could be theoretically, the oil spill notwithstanding, it could be a lot cheaper for us to be having this resource to depend on petroleum products. We shouldn't be paying as much as we're paying for it, that this is an artificial scarcity that keeps the price high. Is that a position you would say is true based on your experiences on the North Slope and what you're hearing from the Gulf?
Now, the North Slope oil wells were shallow wells, such as you find in Saudi Arabia and Nigeria and Mexico and so on. We're talking about a very deep well, deeper. In fact, BP actually drilled into something that nobody's ever touched before. Now, the Russians, when they drilled that Kola SG-3 wells and found massive amounts of abiotic oil, and yes, you're right, there is no shortage whatsoever and won't be any shortage because it is replenishing itself in the heart of the earth, and the Russians proved this. Now, when BP decided to drill in the Gulf of Mexico, they drilled a super deep well trying to do the same thing, except only one thing. Russia never hit extreme pressures like this. And my question then at this point, if I may ask myself a question, will BP be able to stop the flow of this oil? And that was one of my first questions to these individuals when I tried to investigate this and talk to some outstanding authorities. And I said, okay, can it? His answer was, I hope so. And my answer, I hope so. Now, every method so far known to the oil field has been tried and failed. An authority said to me, Chaplain, there is only one method to stop the flow of this oil in the Gulf of Mexico. I said, what's that? He said, a nuclear device. But immediately, he put a big butt on this. And I said, what do you mean? He said, Chaplain, BP has drilled into a super deep well. They've hit oil pressures that no oil company has ever hit before. He said, already there are fissures springing up many miles away, which means that the main pipe undoubtedly was also ruptured at the time that this extreme pressure came through. He said, Chaplain, the only hope is a nuclear device. And he said, if we succeed, we're heroes. He said, if we fail and that strata of oil is cracked even further than what it already is by drilling that well in it, he said, we'll never stop it. And he said, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, let's pause there then. We'll give the numbers coming up too so that you can join in the conversation with Lindsay Williams, the author of The Energy Non-Crisis. And then we'll bring in Jim Bell and Lindsay Williams together next hour for more of your calls. But then the question is, where is Lindsay Williams on the subject of this oil spill as a device for the country to nationalize the oil companies? This was something he had discovered even back when he was in Alaska, and we'll get to all that coming up next. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. All right, so we'll line up a couple of callers here, just like we did with Jim Bell, who agreed with him on oil production. We'll bring in some callers for Lindsay Williams, who agrees with him that we should have plenty of oil, that it's not a scarce resource, and that the whole oil market is being manipulated. Why? Well, we'll get the answer to that, at least in part, with Lindsey Williams coming up next, and then Jim Bell and Lindsey Williams taking your calls coming up together next hour on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Well, Lindsey Williams, I look forward to hearing what some of these questions and comments are going to be for you coming up in just a second. But before we get there, you are of the opinion and have been even before this that there's an interest on the part of the government to nationalize the oil companies?
Well, there was an interest in it years ago. But right now, the issue is what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, this so outweighs everything else. And what the outcome of this will be catastrophic, because Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat from Florida, he appeared on MSNBC. Now, you can go on your website, all those out in the listening audience, please look this up for yourself. He was with Andrea Mitchell, and this was on June the 9th, just the other day. And Bill Nelson, Democrat from Florida, said, oil is seeping up from the seabed. That means, Ian, that pipe is ruptured down in the ground, and in turn is coming out. Now, NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, just gave their report on the 8th of June, which is this past week, and they said that plumes of oil are coming up at a distance of 20 miles away. This means that we have a disaster of such proportion on our hands that it's almost unbelievable. But let me touch, if I may, on a moment, on what is much more dangerous than what people are seeing on that water. The black oil in the water in the Gulf of Mexico is not the greatest danger. The black stuff just destroys animal life. And I know this is very important, but what comes out of that oil gusher is causing the death of humans and unborn babies. Now, most people think that the only thing that comes out of an oil well is black oil. That is not true. I want to give you from the Environmental Protection Agency. They just made this report this past week, and I was appalled. I immediately got in touch with my elite sources, and I said, what about this? They said, everything they're saying is true. Folks, this is so startling. The EPA went to the area of the Gulf, and they tested the air quality. I want to give you three items that they found that is coming out of that well with the oil that people are breathing that is toxic and flammable. Now, this is straight from the EPA. Please write these words down. Volatile organic compounds is what they call them, that are in the air, in the Gulf, people are breathing it, and not one congressman nor our president has the gumption or the intestinal fortitude to be honest with the American people and telling them what's happening to them and what's going to happen to their unborn babies in the future. These come straight from the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. Number one, in the air right now, they are finding the first item, hydrogen sulfide. Now, I'm going to give you two things about each of these. I'll give three of them. Number one, what is the allowable limits according to the Environmental Protection Agency? The allowable limits of hydrogen sulfide is 5 to 10 parts per billion, PPB. Now, please note those words, PPB. The tested levels right now, currently, in the Gulf of Mexico, the winds blowing them up on the shore in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Florida are 1,200 parts per billion. Okay, the next one, benzene. Oh, my goodness. When I saw this one, it startled me, because they filtered this out of all oil wells, and they can filter it out. They can't filter this out in the Gulf of Mexico. Benzene is toxic. It is a carcinogen, and it causes cancer, known to cause leukemia. Safe levels. Benzene is so dangerous that the Environmental Protection Agency only allows safe levels of 0 to 4 parts per billion. The Environmental Protection Agency this past week tested the air in the Gulf of Mexico and found 3,000 parts per billion of benzene. Let me read you what benzene does. Exposure to low levels of benzene can cause dizziness, drowsiness, headaches, confusion, tremors, rapid heartbeat, and unconsciousness. Long-term exposure to benzene can damage the bone marrow and lead to blood problems like leukemia. It also weakens the immune system and targets organisms such as the kidney, lungs, liver, and brain. And in the Gulf of Mexico, people are breathing 3,000 parts per billion. It is an atrocity that our government does not want. They ought to at least give them an opportunity to know the facts. And that's the reason I consider it a privilege to be on this program tonight, Ian. Let me give you one more and I'll quit.
Okay.
Ethylene chloride, safe levels, 61 parts per billion. This past week, they encountered 3,000 to 3,400 parts per billion. Toxic and flammable. People are breathing it in the Gulf of Mexico, Ian.
West of the Rockies, Jeff is in Northern California for Lindsay Williams on Coast to Coast. Jeff?
Yes, I'm with an energy nonprofit, Tesla Engine. Tesla, good old Tesla, engine.org. And the oil companies are currently using this technology to handle and pump all of their oil. But in the Salton Sea, this is where Jim is wrong. The Salton Sea in Southern California, it's been estimated we have 27 times as much energy as the entire country needs with using the Tesla turbine and Tesla pump. And these, it's the only turbine that can be connected directly to this geothermal source. The oil companies know all about this, and they own vast reserves of this geothermal potential, but they will not use it until the oil is used up. But my question is...
But if it will never get used up, Jeff, when will they ever get around to it?
Well, that's a good question. We don't need oil at all. Tesla gave us the complete solution.
Okay, but that's fine. But if they're only waiting until they run out of oil, then they'll never use it.
Well, this is back when they thought they were going to run out of it.
Okay. Yeah.
Back in the 80s, they knew all about this. They all tried to use it in the 80s. But my question for Lindsay is, do you think this is going to spread worldwide?
The oil spill, you mean?
Right. People have predicted that this is going to go worldwide. Does Lindsay actually think that's going to happen?
If this oil well cannot be kept, if it cannot be stopped using a nuclear device, it will go perpetually. If it does, it will cause the death of some oceans, positively in the Gulf of Mexico. It is scaring the oil officials to death. I have talked with two executive personnel of BP. I have talked with two individuals who were with Atlantic Richfield before and now retired, before BP bought them out. They are shaking in their shoes. They say if we can't stop this, we don't even want to think about what's going to happen. The elite, I have already been told, plan to use this disaster to accomplish their timeline between the year of 2010 and 2012. Now, some of you, I won't get on the subject tonight, but some of you know that I have produced many DVDs describing what the elite have told me that they plan to do by 2012. And they plan to use this, even though this was an accident, even though they did not cause it, but they plan to use it to accomplish their timeline by 2012.
All right, let's get to East of the Rockies. Rich is in Gulfport, Mississippi on Coast to Coast. Rich?
Greetings.
Greetings.
I'm enjoying your show. I am wondering, actually coming from an engineering background, understanding fluid dynamics, I was working at a level of 26,000 PSI over such a short area, and the thought of 70,000 PSI is, I shudder to think that, and your guest answered part of that question, that the pressure is going to cause multiple leaks coming up through the ocean.
You were saying you're running the numbers, so if it's at 70,000 pounds per square inch, that's almost inconceivable what that could mean in terms of how much oil will get out before they could ever cap it. Rich, am I hearing you right? Lindsay?
Yes, let me read you right from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's report that was given the 8th of June. This is by Chris Baltimore. You can look this up for yourself. I want you to prove all these things I'm giving you tonight. He's out of Houston. This was on Reuters News. U.S. experts investigating reports of undersea oil plumes emanating from BP's pig-stricken well in the Gulf of Mexico on Tuesday confirmed the presence of low level of oil below the surface. NOAA is confirming the presence of low level concentrations. Jane Lupraccio, Administrator of National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, there positively are oil plumes under the water up to 20 miles away. This gentleman is exactly right. This is so catastrophic until it would scare the living daylights out of people. If they would only know and believe what's happening down there, if they can't cap this thing in a short period of time with these plumes coming up, we know 5 miles away. Even the senator admitted to that.
Yeah, but even if they cap it, then the plumes are going to keep coming. And it sounds like, in a way, that all of this was building up to the surface anyway. Is there a possibility that the oil might have come up through these fissures even without them having drilled for it?
Undoubtedly, the drill pipe itself was ruptured because of the extreme pressures that they did not know they were going to hit. They had no intentions in encountering this, and when they did, it undoubtedly has ruptured that pipe at many places. Now, do you want to know what's going to happen as a result of this? And I'd like to give it to you from John Hoffmeister. He is a former president of Shell Oil. He wrote a book entitled Why We Hate the Oil Companies. You'll like that. John Hoffmeister says, when we dream about new energy systems in decades in the future, the prices that consumers will have to pay for things like gasoline, electric, and diesel will just skyrocket. If America halts offshore drilling, and oh, by the way, you do know that President Obama said this past week, we'll give no new permits for offshore deep well drills. Here's what Mr. Hoffmeister says. Prices could go to the point where fixed income and low income people are simply taken out of the personal mobility market. This would be a shock and unnecessary because of our unwillingness to produce domestic resources. I'm going to read you how much this man says that price of gasoline will be at the gas pump. I'm quoting him. This is not Lindsey Williams, even though my sources agree with this. Here he says, if the American public is willing to accept $6 to $8 per gallon of gasoline as an alternative to drilling, this is what they're going to get. Folks, you are going to see $6 to $8 per gallon at the gas pump in the near future if our government stops offshore drilling. They've already warned about it. The oil companies, you have to understand that these people do control the world. They can tell the president what to do. They dictate to Congress what bills to pass. They control the price of crude oil in every country in the world. The dollar is used as the method of transferring the funds. They already are saying, okay, government, you stop our offshore drilling, you are going to pay for it. Mark my words, you'll see it at the gas pump shortly.
First-time caller line, Bob is in Houston on Coast to Coast for Lindsey Williams. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, I was going to ask something, but Lindsey just kind of scared the bejesus out of me with some of the things he said since I come back from the break. One thing I wanted to ask you, Lindsey, I don't know if you know about this, but this is what I was told here locally. I have a good friend I've known for like 30 years, and he knows somebody in the oil business who was on the front line when all this started happening. They were debriefed after everything that happened, and the word that got back to him that he told me about a month and a half ago was that these guys were drilling way too fast. They got a little greedy, and they were drilling on certain layers, and that's what there was a pressure buildup, and the thing just blew. Do you know anything about that as being a possibility, that they were drilling too fast? Has that come up in discussion or anything?
No one that I've talked with has said they were drilling too fast. They did say this. They drilled into an area that nobody's ever gone into before. First of all, they tried it in the ocean where it should have never been allowed. And secondly, they were drilling a super deep well. They got down to 25 to 30,000 feet. Now, out there in the listening audience, please think of something. You're traveling in a jet aircraft, a commercial passenger liner. You at 30 to 35,000 feet, you look down from that airplane at the ground. Do you know what you see? You know how far it is? That's the depth that BP was drilling in. It should have never been allowed. They were drilling 25 to 30,000 feet when this thing let loose because nobody's ever gone into this strata before.
Andrew is in Los Angeles on a wildcard line for Lindsey Williams on Coast to Coast. Andrew?
Yes, great show as usual, Ian. Lindsey, I agree with you. There's an unlimited supply of oil, but there are a few other mistakes that I believe that BP made. Number one, no relief wells were ever drilled. The $500,000 device, safety device, that they could have put in that may have shut down the pumps, they said that was too expensive. Also, they are vastly, vastly understating and have been understating the amount of oil being released. They cannot be truthful about that because they don't want to scare the public. And also, there's something else. If we didn't enable them, if our government officials at the highest levels did not enable them to get the waivers, they would never have been allowed to do what they have done to bring us to this point. Now, if they went, let's say, to the North Sea or to Canadian offshore areas, they could never pull off what they're doing to us here. But we have allowed them to do it, and I think we, our government officials, no names have been mentioned, but they are equally responsible, along with BP, for creating this mess. How the hell do we get out of it? That's what
I want to say. Everything that you have just said is true. Caller, thank you so very much for saying that. You put it masterfully. And everything you've just said is exactly right. How do we get out of this mess? According to the oil company top officials that I've talked with, including two from BP themselves who were willing to talk because they knew who I was, they're not so sure we can get out of it. And this is what frightens me. And this is the reason that I'm on this show tonight with Ian, is because I am begging you, I am pleading with you to know the issues, know the facts, and do something about this. I think that we're going to experience something in the Gulf of Mexico such as human beings have never witnessed before.
Mike, on a wildcard line for Lindsey Williams on Coast to Coast, and then we'll bring Jim Bell back into the conversation, and we'll have Jim and Lindsey taking questions in the last hour. Mike?
Yes, gentlemen, I think your guest has hit it spot on. And my contention is that over 70% of all drilling under U.S. territorial jurisdiction is either capped or sold to other countries. It's not refined for domestic production. So we have a glut of reserves that we should be using until we develop the technology. The second thing is from the book of the Fountain Pen Conspiracy. When you take something out of the ground, you know its value. If you leave it in the ground, you create excitement. And the third point is that even the drilling that's intended, the new wells that they're intending, could only compound the problem, and they should be out there with something else. And it may even come to what your guest said. But, this is stuff they continue to withhold and suppress what is really going on down there. We've got Haley Barbour and Senator Landrieu saying, we got to drill. Think about the arrogance and the idiocy of that.
Well, I'll throw in another voice for that, though. We had Harry Shearer on last week, and as a resident of New Orleans, he says the economy down there is completely dependent on offshore oil production. And if you pull that out, they're still recovering from Katrina. Now they have this, and then they'll have nothing because the tourists will stop coming too. That's another voice in there that isn't quite as politically motivated as Haley Barbour, Harry Shearer, of not being anywhere near Haley Barbour on the political spectrum. But a lot of people down around New Orleans, Democrat and Republican, say we got to keep drilling, or we might as well just roll up the sidewalks for New Orleans. All right, so let's put this on hiatus for the moment. Bring Jim Bell back in. It'll be Jim Bell and Lindsey Williams, each from their different perspectives on the oil situation, and yours too. This is the part where I say, okay, all bets off. What you have a solution? Do you have a way that you think you can fix this? Do you agree with Jim Bell in terms of we ought to abandon oil production altogether as quickly as possible and move into alternative resources? Do you agree with Lindsey Williams that this is an elite conspiracy? We'll find out next on Coast to Coast.